And for more perspective on the Treasury takeover of the two mortgage giants, we turn now, as we often do, to David Wessel, economics editor of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Renee.
Now, it was just last July, that's just weeks ago, that Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson convinced Congress to authorize the use of government funds to prop up Fannie and Freddie Mac, in part by saying this.
If you've got a bazooka and people know you've got it, you may not have to take it out. You're not likely to take it out.
And that, of course, was Henry Paulson basically saying, David, if the government had the muscle to intervene, that would increase investor confidence and then reduce the chances greatly that the government would have to use the funds to rescue Fannie and Freddie. But now he's taken out that bazooka he talked about. What happened?
Well, it was a nice line, and I'm sure it helped Secretary Paulson get Congress to go along with giving him the bazooka so he could use it. But it proved just wrong. There was no single precipitating factor, as far as I know. The Treasury concluded that the companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but particularly Freddie Mac, simply couldn't raise enough capital privately soon enough to stay afloat and keep the mortgage market going. And so he decided that acting sooner rather than later was the best thing for the economy.
And, of course, what homeowners and potential homeowners would like to know is how's this going to affect them?
Right. Well, we know that when Fannie and Freddie moved into the headlines in this latest chapter in the financial crisis, that mortgage rates began to creep up. And that was quite a concern to government officials because the mortgage market, home buying market, does not need any help from higher mortgage market rates, to say the least. So I think that Treasury Secretary Paulson yesterday said that he hopes that mortgage rates will come down as a result of this. But mostly I think what he's saying that if they had not done this, and Fannie and Freddie had continued to have trouble, that mortgage rates would have gone up. So it's sort of a problem avoided rather than something else.
And we've just heard that investors, at least worldwide, are find this a winning strategy. But who loses as a result of this?
Yeah, it was interesting to see that the markets overseas have risen so much. I think it's just a vote of confidence that somebody's taking control. The shareholders, both common and preferred shareholders of Fannie and Freddie, lose big. Ironically, some of those preferred shareholders are commercial banks that are having their own trouble now. The government is requiring that the companies stop paying dividends, for instance. The CEOs of the two companies got ousted, although each of them could get millions of dollars in severance. The taxpayers could lose. The taxpayers have taken on a huge obligation here, not only to support Fannie and Freddie, but to actually buy some of their securities to keep the mortgage market going. The big winners, I think, are the people who hold debt in Fannie and Freddie, including the Chinese. They have been basically given a gilt-edge guarantee now. And, of course, if it works, the overall economy and the homeowners of America win.
So where do we stand in the Freddie and Fannie saga here?
Well, this is certainly an interesting peak in the story. The story has reached a crescendo. The companies have been shot in the head, and the government has taken them over. But the Treasury did not say what it thinks should happen now. The government can run these things for a while, and they'll put some taxpayer money in, perhaps up to, he said, $100 billion for each company, if that's what it takes to keep this thing going. But then the next Congress and the next president are going to have to decide what to do with them. Do they remain wards of the state, or are they carved into 10 pieces and sold off as independent private companies?
So we'll be talking about this plenty more, David. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
David Wessel of the Wall Street Journal.